Welcome to my evil thoughts. It's Joe Crummy. Today's date, if you need it, is Monday, May 8th, 2017.
It's worth remembering this.
Yes, remember this guy.
The times in which President Kennedy led us.
Okay, that's President Obama at the Kennedy Center last night. Boring, but we'll get to it. There's a reason why he is saying what he's saying, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we'll tell you what's coming up on the show today. Yes, we'll talk about healthcare. This will be the third podcast, Thursday and Friday, and now Monday. We'll try to keep it brief today on healthcare, but just the way it was discussed over the weekend cracks me up. MTV Awards last night for music and movies. Very political. We'll get into that. Even Maxine Waters was on stage. Awesome. What else we got? The French elections. Well, so much for Vladimir Putin running the show, right, over the weekend. And, you know, it's really great. The guy that Putin wanted didn't win. So far, for all these Twitter bots and all these advanced tools to control all the elections, Vladimir Putin, as far as we know, is 0 for 2. All right. I mean, if he can't push France around, I mean, who can you push around? His candidate was the right-wing wacko lady that wants to leave the European Union because Vlad has evil designs on taking over Europe or whatever it is. She got her butt kicked yesterday in France by the socialist with the mostalists, this guy. And I love how they pronounce his name, too. You know, the media's really getting heavy into the French thing. Emmanuel Macron. Well, whatever. I'm not a French guy. I'm more Espanol, señor. But I just love this guy's name. It's Macron is how you spell it, but it's Macron. So I just can't do it. But anyway, so Vlad lost big because his candidate only got about 35% of the vote. The right-wing populist, let's get out of the EU lady, only got 35-36%. The socialist who's claiming he's not a socialist. Oh, by the way, when he won, Emmanuel Macron, the first thing he did is he called up Angela Merkel and gave her a high five. So the European Union is back in black, and everybody loves it. All right, now, here a little more of the president last night. There's a reason why I'm playing it. This is the other president guy, you know, the black one.
Because for many Americans, I know that this feels like an uncertain and even perilous time.
You know, I want to make a point of that. It's an uncertain time. It's perilous.
I hope that current members of Congress recall that it actually doesn't take a lot of courage to aid those who are already powerful.
Right, we're talking about the little guy.
Already comfortable.
We're still talking about the little guy.
Already influential.
Not the evil rich white man, not that guy. He's already got his share of the pie, not that guy.
But it does require some courage to champion the vulnerable.
Okay. You know, he really does sound kind of boring compared to evil Trump, but let's continue.
I hope they understand that courage means not simply doing what is politically expedient.
Yes. Man, if I'd be sitting there, I'm falling asleep, somebody help me. I mean, this is worse than, I don't know, going and being dragged to Les Mis. You know, this is worse, having to listen to this. He's talking about health care. That's why I'm talking about it. You got to help the little guy.
But doing what they believe deep in their hearts is right.
Jesus, all right, well, that's the president last night. Pass out some coffee, will you? Make it a double. Anyway, so the president's talking about, well, we want to help the little guy, and that brings me to healthcare. Let's get it done real quick, because we spent a couple of days on this already. Over the weekend, I heard about the, you know, evil Trump's healthcare plan is, did you hear this, by the way, that it's really just a tax cut for the rich, and that it's a bunch of misogynistic white Republicans who don't care about women, right? And they don't care if they get raped. And also, they don't like minorities and the poor. How am I doing so far? And I started hearing that about the president's plan, and I kept thinking, you know, Joe, this sounds familiar. And then I realized, oh, that's what they say every time. It's a tax cut for the rich, and you don't like women, and you're a misogynist. And then we ever go, because they work for Trump, who's a misogynist, and that's why. Yeah, could you see the Republicans sitting around? Yeah, let's see if we can screw over women. You know, it's over 50% of the population. Yeah, let's really stick it to them. That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, that sounds good, because Trump hates them too. Good. This is their thinking. Anyway, so I went and I looked at this, because the big thing was that if you get raped, it's now a pre-existing condition, and it's evil and bad. And so I actually looked it up. That's not quite right. Not even close. Here are the protections for those of you with pre-existing conditions that are built in to evil Trump's American Health Care Act that the media just doesn't seem to be able to talk about. They talk about tax cuts for the rich and the misogyny and all this stuff. stuff, and they're great at doing it because they always do it. But here's actually some facts for you. Number one, all right, insurers cannot deny you under this plan, okay? They have to sell you a plan even if you do have a pre-existing condition, all right? No matter what, they have to sell you a plan. Now, can they charge you more? Yeah, but we're going to get to that in just a second. Before insurers, before Obamacare, could just turn you down. So you could have a pre-existing condition, but then again, you have a lot of other health issues too. Before, just because of that one thing, they could just say, get lost. They still can't do that. They can charge you more, but here, let me just follow them. They can't tell you no. They have to sell you a policy. And you know that's going to be regulated how much they can charge, all right? So they have to sell you a policy no matter what, all right? They have to do it. I'm yelling. Number two, anybody that lives in a state that hasn't opted out with a waiver, I think what you do is there's something called the Obama Community Standards, and your state could opt out. All right. If you are in a state that does not opt out, there is no way you can be charged more. No matter what, you cannot be charged more. All right. Now, what happens if you live in a state, right, and your state opts out? Can you be charged more for a pre-existing condition? The answer is, if you keep your insurance and do not let it lapse, the answer is no. And you can still change to another plan, too, if you change businesses or jobs or whatever it is. As long as your insurance doesn't lapse, you cannot be charged more, all right? The only people that are going to get into trouble are people in waivered states, right, and who develop or have a pre-existing condition, and then at that point, you know, and you don't have any insurance, and if you don't have it by now, it's like, what are you waiting for? But I mean, okay, so then there's that high-risk pool. All right. So all this talk about Republicans don't like women and they're misogynist and all that, and rape is a pre-existing condition, all that. It's really overblown. But that's as far as I want to go do on the American Healthcare Act today. Enough on that. Let's go to the MTV Movie and TV Awards last night. Here is, this is great. This is the daughter of, what's her face? Diana Ross. Diana Ross has a daughter. I should have known that. She was Mrs. Supremes years ago. She was the lead singer. She married some guy a bunch of years ago. She had a kid who is now an actress. And I am looking for her name right now. Tracy Ellis Ross. Here she is introducing Maxine Waters last night at the MTV TV and Music Awards.
Thank you for your voice and how you use it, and thank you for being an extraordinary example for all of us.
She's bringing up Maxine Waters, who's all done up and dressed up.
Especially in these times.
Oh, you're so fabulous. Here she comes.
Artists, actors, singers, and citizens have a unique opportunity, the ability to speak out and inspire change.
As do politicians, madam.
Honest, well-told stories lead to important discussions.
Oh, that's it. Okay, anyway, well, that was the thing. So Maxine Waters was given a great award last night. And if she is the one that I recall during the L.A. riots, after we'd watched, you know, people looting stores, dragging TV sets out, just burning them down, getting the liquor, doing everything, stealing everything, was the one that went on TV and said that looting, when they asked her about it, because it was a lot of it in her district, she made excuses, and she said, oh, it was just people looking for milk and, I guess, diapers for their babies. I'm going, what TV station were you watching, honey? That's not what I saw. I saw people dragging flat screens. They weren't flat screens then, but, you know, big TV sets out the front door, burning the place down, stealing everything. Yeah, they were just looking for milk and diapers for their babies. That's Maxine Waters, who's great. Then there was another award last night. This is great. This is given by Kate Dillon to Emma Watson. Here's the voice of Kate Dillon talking about the first genderless award last night given by MTV.
It's so cool to be here presenting the first acting award ever that celebrates performance free of any gender distinctions.
Yeah, they play a little music, and then here comes Emma Watson.
MTV's move to create a genderless award for acting will mean something different to everyone. But to me, it indicates that acting is about the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and that doesn't need to be separated into two different categories.
That's great. Okay, so they're all excited last night. The politically correct people at MTV have created a genderless award. And so, you know, as a woman, you're not just an actress or, you know, guy, you're not an actor. You're just an actor. But that's the way, I could care less. It's like, whatever. And that was Emma Watson talking about how when you're acting, it doesn't really matter. You're just an actor. It's all great. Although she was getting the award for playing a woman, which she is. I mean, I can't wait to see Disney cast a guy in a movie in a woman's role. I want to see him do that. You know what I think the left has done? I think they have confused equality. I mean, God love them, they want gender neutral. I think it's kind of funny, though, before I make the final point here, this actress, if I can see if I get her name right here, I just want to make sure I get the people right, because I didn't really care about a lot of this stuff. But anyway, this woman, Kate Dillon, identifies herself as what, non-binary? Yeah. I'm non-binary. Well, she looked a lot like, I don't know much about Kate Dillon, but she had that Rachel Maddow haircut going last night. I'm not sure what that's about, so I'm going to stand back on that one. But I think what the left has a problem here, because they mistake equality, which we all agree upon, men and women are equal, for heaven's sakes, to being the same. You know, men and women are completely equal under the law. But anybody that thinks they're the same is crazy. You know, men and women are very different with a lot of things. You know, the way we view the world, we just have different emotional temperaments. So I want to tell you a funny story over the weekend. I woke up on Sunday morning, and how much time do I have? Enough time to do this story. It's funny about the difference between men and women. So I get up on Sunday morning, and there's something in my YouTube box. I don't know why, but it's something about some old video footage of this Zeppelin that flew around the world in 1929 from New Jersey. And it looked interesting to me. It was kind of a Sunday morning kind of thing. So I decided to watch it. It was like 50 minutes long. But it had all this great footage of New York City back in the 20s and this kind of stuff. And I thought it was kind of cool. It was about this huge Zeppelin that was going to fly around the world. And they were going to take 60 people all around the world. And 40 of them were working on the Zeppelin. And then there were going to be 20 writers. And they would, write, they wouldn't tweet, but they would somehow write about their experience going around the world. And then the evil William Randolph Hearst would make money on it because they could sell a lot of newspapers with these people going around. So they leave New Jersey, and they fly all the way over to some little dinky town in, Germany. They land there. They party. It's very F. Scott Fitzgerald, but they're up in this blimp. You know, it's this huge, weird thing, and it's going on 75 miles an hour. But they decide to take a woman. And so this whole documentary is written to the perspective of the woman who's on the Zeppelin as it goes all over Siberia, and then they land in Tokyo, and they party there. And there's a lot of politics in the background, because these people are going to be killing each other in 10 years, and, you're flying over Europe with all the same apparent problems they seem to have today, trying to get along, evil Vlad and all this. He wasn't even born yet, but all this stuff going on, and they're flying over it in the Zeppelin. It's 1929, and she's the only woman on the whole thing, and everybody else is a guy. And one of the things is the guy that she's there with, also sent by William Randolph Hearst, who was bankrolling the whole thing because Germany had run out of money. Apparently they had built it, but we had all the money. That hasn't changed apparently either. Anyway, so she was sent to kind of write from the female perspective, and he was kind of her boss, but it's kind of a wrinkle there because she'd had an affair with him 6 months before and they'd called it off. And the reason why they had gotten together, because the guy's wife was kind of a nut job or even mental or whatever it was. So she was having an affair with the guy. And when William Randolph Hearst says, you got to be on the Zeppelin with the guy, she kind of freaks and goes, oh my God. So they get in the Zeppelin. To make a long story short, they almost die, but they survive. And what do they go back to New York and the whole thing? They go around the world in 21 days at 75 miles an hour. You do the math. That's roughly what happened. Anyway, the whole thing was really funny because when they get back, it's over and it's fine. But the whole thing is written from her perspective with this guy that she was sort of still in love with, and they're on the Zeppelin, and she's always talking about him, and then, oh, look at Siberia, and then, oh, Carl came in and he held my hand. Okay, now the wind is blowing and I'm really cold. Carl did this and Carl did that. when the whole thing was over, I'd scroll down to the comments, you know, on YouTube, which are always really brutal and really funny. And all the guys were pissed off. You know, they were going, who cares about Carl? You know, they want to know about the Zeppelin. It was pretty funny, man. All right, regarding the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearings going on right now, they're just about as boring as President Obama was at the Kennedy Center last night. Oh, but they started with something that made me laugh. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse started pontificating for a couple of minutes, and he was talking about how, you know, evil Vlad had spread all this negative information about Hillary Clinton, and I just started laughing because I thought, hey, Senator Sheldon, the United States media was 50 times more effective regarding evil Trump. Why don't you guys investigate the media? They're a bigger story than, well, they're just as big easily as Vlad, but that's a story we just don't seem to want to talk about. Hey, I want to give some shout-outs on this crummy podcast here. My evil thoughts go out to, I believe it's Sandy Lee Brogan and also Phil Petillo, who are spreading the word, and I want you to do the same thing, too. Tell people about the podcast. We do it every single day. And rate the podcast on iTunes. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter as Joe Crummy, and also on Instagram as Crummy Joe, all right? So those. Oh, turn it up, the music means the host has got to run. Those are my evil thoughts. Turn it up.